Well, hi there, and welcome to the Virtue Podcast. We are currently studying and sharing our insights from the Gospel of Mark, subtitled The Gospel for Busy People. I'm Christy Robillard, one of the Virtue teachers, and I'll be sharing with you my insights for Session 7, which is Mark Chapter 9, focusing on verses 14 through 29. So you might want to grab your Bible, open it up, and turn to Mark 9, or you can just open your Mark lesson book and turn to page 78. As I read Mark's secondhand account of the life of Jesus, I've become so impressed with how Mark highlights the miracles performed by Jesus. Miracle after miracle is recorded. Mark's gospel is a book of miracles, and in the chapter of our study, chapter 9, we see another amazing miracle recorded. People were healed and miraculously fed, lepers were cleansed and demons cast out, storms were stilled, and Jesus walked on water. Miracles. All of these miracles led people to a point of faith. Jesus didn't perform miracles just because he could. He did so to meet real needs and to create opportunities to build real faith. And so I've titled this message, A Point of Faith. Every person alive on this planet will one day come to a point of faith. And God can use a million and one different scenarios to bring us to this point. What is faith? Well, the writer of Hebrews tells us faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. That's Hebrews 11:1. So let's talk about faith for a minute. Faith and belief are words used interchangeably in our everyday language and conversation, but they don't always mean the same thing. For example, we believe the theory of relativity where gravity is explained. Why? Well, toss a raw egg up in the air and it will drop, crack, and splat, right? We know that's going to happen because of gravity. What goes up must come down. The egg will not remain suspended in the air. This theory does not require faith. Faith comes into action in the unseen. It is intangible, but those who have faith are absolutely convinced of a certain reality. We haven't seen Jesus, but as Christians, we believe he is the only Son of God, the Savior of the world, the forgiver and cleanser of our sins, the way to the Father, and eternal life in heaven. Why? Because we believe what the Bible tells us. And so when you believe this to be true, your belief becomes faith. And I believe Jesus is bringing his church to her point of faith too, through what we are experiencing in 2020. I feel it in myself. And if you ponder this for a moment, I'm sure you'll agree. He is adding so many to the church daily, those who are being saved as well. This is exciting. And when I get above it all, when I gain the mind of Christ over our present situation, I get excited for what God is doing. God is making us true, real believers and developing gritty faith in his church. And that's the best possible outcome that can ever happen through the unpredictability of need, hardship, suffering, and so much loss being experienced today. And so let's read about the point of faith moment that the father of the demon-possessed boy experienced in Mark chapter 9. And we're going to pick up our reading in verse 16. What is all this arguing about? Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, Teacher, I brought my son to you so you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Jesus said to them, You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy, and when the evil spirit saw Jesus, he threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us. Help us, if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Asked Jesus. Anything is possible if a person believes. And verse 24, the father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. What a horrific situation. And the religious scribes and the disciples are arguing. Really? How sad. In this moment of this man's greatest need, they're arguing who's right, who's wrong, why this, why that, blah, blah, blah. And so the man, he just leaves them. He sees Jesus and he goes straight to Jesus. And I'm going to come back to that in just one moment. But the first thing I really want to address is the question that I've been asked, and actually many years ago I had the very same question. Can a Christian be demon-possessed? Absolutely not. Because once you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and He doesn't share. No roommates. When I was 14, the movie The Exorcist had come out. Now, I've never seen the movie, and I didn't want to see it then, but the billboards and the promotional trailers totally freaked me out. They had my stomach in knots. I remember being in the drive-in theater with a bunch of friends, and the trailer for that movie came on, and I just sank to the floorboard, and I put my hands over my ears. I was just sick. I didn't want to see it. I didn't want to hear it. It made me afraid. I was a Christian, but I wasn't rooted in God's word, and I was afraid, literally, that maybe a demon might sneak into me. I would actually sleep with my Bible on my chest. You know what? It would have been so much better if I would have just read and studied that Bible, right? Then I would have known it can't happen. But here are two rock-solid verses that you can reference to support that a Christian cannot be demon-possessed. And there are so many more, but I'm just going to give you two that I feel like really are pointed. 1 Corinthians 6:19, you've become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Right there, He's the one who lives in you. There's no room for demons. Ephesians 1:13, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, like an airtight jar. Nothing escapes and nothing comes in. He is in you and all around you. The Holy Spirit is not leaving you, and demons are not coming in, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. So this poor man from our passage of Scripture, as I said, he leaves the debate. He just gets out of that whole fray and he comes straight to Jesus. His life is a living terror. His hopes and dreams are being destroyed and slipping away right before his eyes. And he can't even speak with his own son. And maybe some of you know what that is like. He's thrown into convulsions, thrown into fires, thrown into water, thrown into a life of devastation. The demon is not trying to hurt his son. He is trying to kill his son. I imagine this boy, who is anywhere between the ages of 12 and 17, has scars from head to toe, serious burns he would have experienced, probably open infected wounds from those burns, as well as from being thrown violently on the ground. The father as well must have had his own scars, his own wounds, from continued rescue attempts of his son, scars in his body and scars in his mind. What love this father had for his son. He never gave up. It may have been tempting to give up. Life would have been so much easier if he just drowned the next time he was thrown into the water. The terror would be over. How many times did he rescue his son? He probably couldn't count. But each time his son was tormented, the father was there to rescue his son. And I commend this father for never giving up on his child. And I commend all men and women today who don't give up on their children when it is hard. When we ponder this situation, we see the tenacious love of this father for his son. And it is not lost on me that this is the type of love our Heavenly Father has for us. He is tenacious, and he will go after us and rescue us and never give up on you or me. Now, there's no mention of the boy's mother. Maybe she's around. Maybe she's not. Maybe she couldn't take it any longer. It happens. Terror by day, terror by night for this father. When is the next life-threatening event going to happen? Stressed out beyond belief, always on, never able to relax and let down his guard. Fear and anxiety rule over every minute of his existence. Shunned by family, friends, and his community, he must have felt so alone. Can you imagine? I know some of you can. On the day of this divine appointment, an ordinary man with an extraordinary problem is brought to his point of faith moment. I have no doubt this man had questioning thoughts like this. I can't believe this is my life. This is a nightmare. I can't see how this will ever end well. It's hopeless. Have you ever thought this way? Yeah. I know you have. Jesus asked the Father a simple question. How long has this been happening? Maybe you're an ordinary person with an extraordinary problem too. How long has this thing been happening in your life? Has it been years, like the situation in our passage of Scripture? And with each passing year, have you lost hope? Is Jesus calling you to your point of faith moment? You may feel abandoned in your moment of pain, especially because of how long it's been and how you have endured. But remember those verses I shared earlier? He's in you. He has not left you. The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit, Psalm 34:18. This man brought his son to the disciples for help. But they couldn't help. They had been given authority to cast out demons, but they couldn't cast this one out. Jesus later explains to them why in verse 29. This kind can come out only by prayer. The disciples had become a bit like independent contractors. They became confident in the experience of exercising the authority Jesus had given them over demons. But the power to perform is not their own. The power is of God. Jesus gave them authority. He did not give them his power. The disciples needed to stay connected to their power source, the Lord, through prayer. Their connection to the Lord had dissipated by a lack of prayer. Jesus said so. Prayer is the main way we stay connected to the Lord. The Lord is not weakened by the lack of our presence, but we are weakened by the lack of his. Our maintained connection to the Lord is vital, and this is our humility. Truly, we cannot do anything on our own. Jesus said in John 15:4-7, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted." I'm reminded of the incident in John 13. Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet, and now they are sharing their last meal together. And during this meal, Jesus explains that one of them is going to betray him. And the disciples begin to look around. They can't believe it. They look at each other, these men that they have served with. They can't believe that one of them would actually betray Jesus. And so Peter sees John reclining on Jesus and he motions to him, asks Jesus who it is that's going to betray him. Well, you know what? Jesus was right there. They didn't need to ask John to ask Jesus. They could have asked him themselves. Jesus was right there. And that is what we all need to do too. Call your friends, call your pastor, but above all, call on the name of Jesus. We all have people in our lives that we admire for their close, intimate relationship with the Lord. I do too, but I don't lean on their close relationship. I lean on my own. And that's what you need to do too. Don't lean on someone else's. Build your own. You be the one leaning on Jesus so close that you can hear his heartbeat, and you will hear. Don't dodge your point of faith moment by looking to someone else. They already had their moment, obviously. This is your time. This is your faith building moment. Jesus is right here. Ask him. Tell him all about it. Even tell him how long this thing has been going on. Of course, he already knows, but he loves you and he loves to hear your voice. He wants to hear all about it. Follow his lead. He is leading you into great faith. And I want to pray for all of us right now. My Father, many are in great need of you and in need of what you can do in their lives. They are at their point of faith moment. So help them. Have mercy on them. Help their unbelief. Increase their faith. Touch with your healing power. Bring deliverance at your word. We acknowledge that you are able. We trust that you always choose best, for you are good. And we rest in your tender, loving care. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless you.